All right. Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 334. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Hello.
And Pete.
What's up?
Jeff has company at his house, so he didn't want to sit on his phone and talk with us.
It's funny because I don't really believe that Jeff has friends.
I mean, it could be his family.
It could be his girlfriend's friends.
Or yes, it could be his girlfriend's friends or family. Who knows? Certainly maybe it's just like, you know what? I just want a break. I just want to drink my Miller Lite here by myself on my couch and play Nintendo games.
Yeah.
And Fozzie is away. It sounds like he is off with his girlfriend's family or something. So it is the three of us.
Just the three of us.
Yep. We can make it if we try. Let's see. What have you guys been up to? Because it was a light week. I don't think anybody got Watch Dogs, which that came out last week. And
right.
So outside of Pokemon, which Pete is going to talk about, nothing really new.
Right. But lots of cool games came out before this, so yeah. Now we can actually play them, right?
Yeah. Finally getting through some of them.
Yeah, I don't have Watch Dogs. I don't have Dishonored. I want to get both.
That's right. I forgot about Dishonored.
I want to get Dishonored real bad. I've heard some really good things about Dishonored. But maybe Christmas, maybe if it gets real cheap on Friday.
It's like I have Final Fantasy coming out in 6 days.
Oh, fuck, that's right. Final Fantasy.
So, and I want to get Skyrim, and I'm hearing that that might be $30 on Black Friday.
Yeah, in some places.
Yeah, so I do want to play Watch Dogs. I do want to play Dishonored, but I don't want to pay $50-$60 for it right now. And there's so many other things to play. So I will play them at some point. But we've actually been playing some other games that came out. October was packed with games. So
that's right. Finally getting to play some of those other October games.
Yeah, so you cracked in on, I think these came out on the same day, but you cracked in on Civilization VI?
Six.
And Titanfall.
Yes.
Two.
Yeah, buddy.
So
they did an update to Civ 6, right?
Yeah, there was a patch to Civ 6 last week, which supposedly targeted, some of the issues that I had with the game initially.
Okay.
Namely, the AI and the inability of the AI to upgrade its units. So I was playing, and I got pretty far, maybe 12 hours into the campaign. So I got really far. I was in the modern era. And I started the game on Saturday, so I had completely downloaded the patch, whatever. And I started and I played all this time. And now I'm starting to actually get into wars with the other civilizations. And I'm trotting out tanks and planes and battleships and destroyers. And I'm being attacked by Quinkereams and spearmen and war chariots. It's
yeah, you know, until you said that, I never noticed. I played a whole game, like last month. Like, I'm talking, you know, 500 turns and beyond. Went to war with multiple factions. Never noticed that none of their units were upgraded. I mean, they had always had a shit ton of them, and so maybe that's what...
Yeah.
But,
Yeah, so, this was an issue that the patch was supposed to have solved. And so I was playing through this, and I actually ended up tweeting about it. And then the Civ 6 Twitter tweeted back at me, and they're like, so this was fixed at the patch. Did you start your game, or make sure you start your next game after the patch? And I was like, but I did. This entire game took place after the patch. So it's still broken. So fix your damn game. I didn't run into any of the random weak-ass wars that it did the first time through, so the AI was actually only declaring war if they could, felt like they could either win or had troops in position or whatever.
That happened to me last night.
Which was good, because last time the AI was just declaring war willy-nilly and getting destroyed because I would have like troops sitting on their border and they wouldn't even have an arm to declare war on me. Would not work out well for them. So that part's good, but the fact that the AI doesn't seem to build much of an army, and doesn't upgrade it hardly at all when they do buy it, makes it hard to like have a competitive game. So, I was also looking. So I was looking for the stats of the game that I'm currently playing, and it tracks where you are relative to the rest of the world in each way you can win the game. So you can win the religious victory, science victory, whatever. And I'm leading in all of them except religion, where I'm in second place.
Oh, you're in second. I was in fifth, I think, the whole game.
Yeah, I was just messing, like, I saw my faith going up, so I'm like, I'll buy you some units and try to conquer you with religion. But I didn't put that much effort into it. I started getting distracted by, you know, real war. But
yeah.
Game still has some issues they need to work out. It's fun, don't get me wrong. It is addicting as hell. The whole one more turn, I need to upgrade this guy, I need to build this city and this item in that city. And the districts make your cities look ultra cool.
Yeah.
When they get big. And the little districts evolve over time, so your city will look massive and cool and modern as the ages pass. So it's definitely a spectacle. If you like how games like that look, it's definitely really pretty.
What do you think of the art style? Do you care for the cartoony stuff, or is it just sort of whatever?
I never minded the cartoony stuff. It's much better than how Civ used to look.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what other direction they would go in, because the game, while being based on history, has never been that serious. You know?
No, it's always had its fun with that sort of thing.
I think it fits, the aesthetic fits the game well. So there is that.
That's good.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so I would recommend if you were into Civ, I mean, you should probably get it.
Yes.
But it does have its issues, which need to be solved. If you're playing multiplayer, if you are one of those people, I mean, I'm sure it's great. I'm not one of those people. I don't have the time to sit down and play something like that multiplayer.
But yeah, that seems like it would be a really long time.
It would, yeah. You know, one multiplayer match takes you 20 hours.
Do they have a... I know some strategy games have like the ability to do it while you're not online, like you wouldn't have to be sitting there.
Like a synchronous multiplayer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think this would work that way.
No.
Yeah.
Otherwise playing that game multiplayer, that's crazy. It's a lot of time to invest.
Yes.
In terms of multiplayer and time investment, you've been playing a bunch of Titanfall.
Yes.
For the last couple days.
Playing Titanfall 2 multiplayer is refreshing after playing Battlefield, because you sit in like for 30 minutes in a Battlefield match, and Titanfall you're like 8 minutes and it's over.
Yeah. It's just quick. There's a lot of action in those 8 minutes.
It moves so much faster too. Like, my mind is spinning a little bit from how quickly it moves in comparison.
Yeah.
And it still has the same feel that the other Titanfall had. The movement's really quick. You feel like slower but much stronger and badass when you're in your Titan. So it's got that kind of clunkiness of the controls that make it feel authentic.
Yeah, and now because the Titans are a little bit weaker.
Yes.
Because you don't start with a shield, although you can pick one up. And actually, there is a boost, I believe, that allows you to start with a shield. So it's unlocked like 24 or 25.
Yeah, I need to revise a lot of my Titan tactics. They don't work anymore.
Yeah. I mean, it's still fun when you catch somebody and can nuclear eject. And
yes. Yeah. I had a nice pin in the corner.
Yeah.
You gotta my Titan was almost wall. You're not going anywhere. You're going to die. Congratulations.
But yeah, it's just the way the loadouts work and the different types of Titans. It takes a little bit. Of changing your strategies.
Yeah, I am interested in trying them all out because they all look so unique and so cool.
Yeah, the Ronin. I think you said you
Ronin with the sword.
Yeah, it's like very Scorch. Quick.
I mean, there's some options there. Now that said, the upgrading is a little addicting. So you kind of get stuck I feel like I'm invested in Ion, like I have to keep going.
Right. Like that's where I'm at right now because everything levels up. It's like, right. Well, if I move off of this, then like I'm just not going to be as powerful as I am right now. Or
so start at the bottom, level zero at everything, and have to upgrade all your weapons and everything again.
And it's crazy. They go all the way through, I think, 10 rounds of leveling, too.
Yep, yep.
So I think all the weapons go up to level 20, and they each have 10 rounds. So not that once you get past the first round, or once you prestige, I guess they call it regening in this. But once you do that, nothing really changes except for some aesthetic options. But it is fun. It's like now I think I now have a Gen 2.6, like the default AR gun. Okay. It's like I have all these other weapons I can play with, but it's like I want to play with this one because now it has like cool attachments and it actually has a kill counter that you can attach to the side.
I saw that. Yeah, once you regen the weapon, you get a kill counter.
Yeah, so it tells you exactly how many that you've killed. And
now you're also building up cash, right, as you level up. And I'm assuming you can use that to
unlock weapons. Yeah, so you can unlock stuff that that is currently locked. So if you wanted to play as like the Tone Titan, I think that unlocks like level 14 or something like that. You can unlock that by just paying the in-game currency directly to it. Or you want a certain weapon, like you like one of the SMGs that you don't get till level 35 or so. Right. If you have enough credits, you can spend it on that to unlock.
I'm assuming I want to save all my credits for when I prestige and lose everything, so that I can spend them.
Yes, and you can just go and like, buy all your attachments again and be ready.
Right.
I'm wondering how that's going to work. Yeah. It's fun. We played some Bounty Hunt together Tuesday night, yesterday.
Yes.
And then we played some Attrition tonight, and you played some Attrition with Don. Attrition feels exactly the same.
Right? It does. It doesn't feel different at all.
Yeah. I don't think the maps are as good, though. Like,
they're not nearly as good. A lot of them feel claustrophobic. There's one that's like a series of like caverns or caves.
Yeah.
And that map feels really linear, like you're just running into the enemy.
Yeah, you're kind of just running in this circle. Like.
And then there's another map that has lots of overhangs and it's really claustrophobic. So there's a couple maps. Like the last map we played on was great. The wide open one with the city silos. One,
yeah. Yeah.
And I know Angel City is coming in, what, a week?
Yeah. I think if you pre-ordered Titanfall, you get it.
I guess the 28th,
maybe? You get it the 30th. So you get it on Wednesday, but otherwise it's the 6th, so it's another week out. Everyone gets all the DLC, though. All the maps are free. And the only thing I guess they're going to be selling is aesthetic options, like Prime Titans. They don't change gameplay. It's just like a skin. So, that game's really, really good.
It is. It is. I was excited for it. I know I haven't played nearly enough. I need to get into the campaign too. The campaign's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think that might be my favorite shooter campaign of the year. So,
see that.
Let's see. Well, Pete, you played Pokemon.
Yes, I did.
Tell us about which one did you get first?
I got Sun because I'm not a monster.
You got Sun. Oh, we got Moon.
I got Moon, too.
I don't know what's wrong with that. Mostly because, A, I think the Legendary looks cooler. B, I get the Alolan Vulpix. Which means something to about 5 other people listening to this podcast.
Yep, I have no idea what you just said.
Yeah, okay. So, for that in particular, they took a bunch of the original 151 and like remixed them for this game and was like, hey, because these Pokemon, grew up and evolved in the scientific definition of evolution
right.
on an environment different than you know them, they turned out different. So they look a little different. Their types are different. So a Vulpix, instead of being fire type and red, is like this white snow fox that's an ice type. Or the Meowth is dark type instead of normal and, you know, is like blue instead of white and things like that. There's only maybe like, I mean, I'm sure you guys all saw the memes about the Exeggutor, which was like the giraffe, the tree that had a neck that was like 25 right. feet tall. Yeah, that's the Alolan form of Exeggutor. So, there's maybe like 20 of them that they took and remixed and stuff, and it's nice. It helps keep sort of the fact that they stick older Pokemon in these games, keeps it fresh.
Okay.
And stuff. But yeah, it's certainly the most different of the Pokemon games. Like, there are no more gyms anymore. You don't fight the 8 gyms. Instead, you do these trials on each island, or sometimes more than one trial on each island, and you don't earn badges by completing these trials. You earn Z-stones, which allow you to, which each correspond to a different type of Pokemon. So the fire trial gives you the fire Z-stone, which then allows you to use the fire Z move, which is like a super powerful once per battle Hail Mary kind of move. But the trials, some of them do involve battles. Some of them a lot of them are minigame based. So it's like, hey, go find me these ingredients. Or one is like a identify the sound quiz and stuff like that. And then each island does conclude with a battle against like the leader of the island or whatever they're called. I don't remember the terminology they use. So it's still familiar in that sense. And those are the guys who give you, like, the stamp that says, hey, Pokemon up to this level will now obey you, and which is what the badges used to do and stuff like that. You don't need HMs anymore, like Fly, Surf, Strength, Cut, like those special moves that are basically like traversal
right.
moves. They give you this thing called the Pokeride, like, beeper or whatever it's called. I can't remember what it's called. But it just is like, instead of having a whole Pokemon dedicated to letting you fly around the entire world, you just go to the options menu, pick this. Actually, you don't even go to the options menu. You press the Y button and it brings up the menu and you select from one of the Pokemon there, like Charizard, which is the flying one, and then you can just go wherever you want. So you're not tied down to always needing to have a water type because it needs to know surf, or a flying type because you need it to know fly, or this or that. It sort of leads you open to do a little bit more of what you want.
Okay.
In terms of that. The story's a little weird. Ever since Alpha and Sapphire remakes, they've been kind of getting, maybe even since X and Y, if I can remember correctly, they've been delving into more science fiction elements that you would not expect to appear in a Pokemon game. So, like, Alpha, Sapphire, and Omega Ruby dealt with, like, split timelines. And that, like, even though Alpha and Sapphire is a remake of the other game, it's actually an alternate timeline of the original games.
Okay.
And so this one deals with, like, alternate dimensions.
Ooh.
And what Pokemon exist in an alternate dimension and stuff like that. And if you basically ever wondered what the Lovecraftian old gods would look like if they were Pokemon, that's what a lot of these are. And that's one aspect of the story where you're also doing your whole, like, I'm going to be the greatest there ever was and catch them all. you know. The bad guys are really funny. They're like, the Team Skull guys, oh my god, they're basically like internet dude bros in terms of just how nonsensical they are. Nobody in the game takes them seriously. Like, it's not like Team Rocket where they're a joke, but everybody else is afraid of them. It's like, no, even the other characters in the game, like, they're just, they know that they're punks and they treat them like that. So it creates a good, some good, like, almost meta commentary on previous Pokemon games and stuff like that. It's fun. It's got a lot of quality of life things. If you want to catch a Pokemon, you just press the Y button now while you're in battle instead of having to dig in your bag and get the Pokeball and stuff. It's like, nope, just press a button and then press A and you're off to the races on that.
Cool. I heard that it also kind of indicates what, you know, the differences between the two. So like a grass type works against this type of Pokemon or whatever.
It will do that if you have fought that type of Pokemon before.
Okay.
So it doesn't tell you the very first time you've encountered, like if you've never seen it before.
Right.
It makes you have no idea. Sense that what you wouldn't have any idea what works and what doesn't, but right. Then any subsequent time after that, it'll immediately tell you like, this Got move it. Has no effect. This move just does normal damage. It does double damage. It does half damage.
That's interesting, at least.
Well, I think it's nice because they've gotten to the point now. I don't even remember how many total types of Pokemon there are, but
it's since, too many.
Well, I mean, since the funny thing is that since the original games, like 20 years ago, they've only added on three types, and that was Dark, Steel, and Fairy. And Fairy, they only added in an X and Y. So I mean. But they have changed the rules in regards to what's super effective against a type and what isn't and stuff like that. So I think it's helpful that you don't sort of need that Rubik's Cube of this is effective against this and not effective against that. And
right,
just
right.
Trying to keep it all straight because at this point I don't remember it all either. You know, and I've been playing since Pokemon was invented.
Right. So like
they've gone too much, right? There's too many types now, and there's too many different Pokemon.
I don't think it's the types, because like I said, they've only added on three in the whole 20 years. I think it's just the fact that they, like, with the addition of new types also came that some Pokemon that were just one type are now two types, so...
Right, they've changed some of them.
Yeah, so like Magnemite used to just be electric type, but now it's also steel type, so it's like, well, now fire is super effective against this Pokemon when it wasn't before, and stuff like that. So remembering all those particulars can be difficult sometimes, so...
Right, it's like a little daunting for new players, for sure.
Certainly, yeah, I mean, when you're trying to remember, you know, some weird combination of moves and stuff like that, it can get difficult. So, yeah, I mean, it's fun. They tutorialize a great deal of the game in like the first 2 or 3 hours. So
okay.
There's going to be a lot. It's very heavy handed and like just talking at you. And so if you've already played a Pokemon game, you might just be like, oh my God. So it can be a little slow in the very beginning. And there are a lot of cutscenes in the game, funnily enough. A lot, especially in the beginning of the game when it's trying to teach you things. But once you get past that, it's sailing. I haven't had any trouble doing this or that or anything like that. What starter are you going to go with?
I don't know.
Okay. My son picked Litten.
Oh, okay. Well, your son is correct.
Yeah, that's the cat, right?
The fire one.
Yeah, that one kind of looks cool.
Oh, and that's the other thing. Motherfucker, I dropped my slinky. There it is. This was in X and Y, but they've like sort of doubly improved the system in this game. There's like this thing called in the new game. It's called Poke Refresh or something, and it's sort of like the ability to almost have like a Nintendog's interface with your Pokemon. Where you can like groom them and feed them and stuff like that, and it serves
like wash them after battle and that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, it serves several purposes, which I didn't realize until later in the game. The most obvious one is that it increases their happiness meter, which if you're trying to evolve certain Pokemon, that's a requirement. That can get complicated sometimes, and it takes fucking ever. But after battles, you'll have an option to, it'll pop up, it'll be like, you know, care for your Pokemon, press Y. And if they were affected by a status ailment during the battle, you can then just cure them without the use of an item through that interface.
Nice. That's helpful.
And then if you feed them and stuff and grow their affection, it eventually gives you, like, a lot of bonuses in battle. Sometimes, like, your Pokemon will be, like, so strong, have such a strong connection with you that it will immediately cure itself of ailments in battle. It will dodge, it'll be able to, like, dodge attacks, it'll be able to do more damage, it'll, sometimes it'll get hit with a super effective attack and almost die, but it will hang on with one HP kind of thing, like, giving you one last chance. Like, I didn't realize that it went that deep with that sort of stuff, and it sort of, I wish it sort of spelled that out, because I think a lot more people would invest in it. I only happened to know all that because I had an Eevee, and in order to get Umbreon, the dark type evolution, it has to have its happiness meter all the way full.
Hmm.
Right. And I just noticed that through the experience of trying to accomplish something else. But, like, it's actually, like, more helpful than it makes it realize.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, I'm going to play it. It's there.
Yes.
It's in my 3DS.
I mean, you should before Game of the Year.
Yeah. Yeah, and Tony's playing it, and I think Don's probably playing it, so...
Yeah, buddy. Did Jeff say he was getting on it?
He might. I mean, he bought... I guess he jumped on X or Y recently, and he thought that was fun, so...
Yeah.
He might jump on Sun or Moon, so...
And it's like... And it's the, like, you know, unfortunately, now is the perfect time for a Pokemon game to have come out, because it's like... It's super chill, and it's, like, it's not very intense. It's just, like, I could play when I want, and, you know, because it's a 3DS, you know, you just put it in sleep mode when you're done or something. The one thing I will say is that if you have a original 3DS, like I do,
right,
it will chug during battles with more than two Pokemon.
Hmm.
So if you get into, like, those dual battles where it's, like, four Pokemon on screen at once, you will notice the frame rate dip considerably. It has never crashed on me, but it just slows down and can sometimes be a pain in the ass.
Tony, you have a 2DS. Are you experiencing any of that? Okay. So it's really, this is just an original 3DS issue.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense, but mine's purple and I like it, so I'm just going to keep playing on that.
Fair enough. Let's see. What else? I played a little more Doom. That game is...
Yes.
Okay.
It's also $20 on Steam right now.
Is it? It's I do not love it as much as you and Jeff do.
How far into it are you?
I'm like five chapters. I think I just like took down the Argent facility.
Are you in hell yet?
I don't think so. I'm going after some lady named Olivia.
Okay. So that's when it, like, the game is fun during those parts, but when you get to hell, things like really ratchet up in an exciting way. I mean, if you don't like it after that, you're probably not going to enjoy the rest of the game
it's not that I don't like it. There's just, it's not necessarily the type of shooter I like to play anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not very precise with, like, it's very fast. Like,
yes.
It's very fast. It's super responsive, but I don't feel that the shooting itself is very precise. And over the last, like, couple years, I have moved from, like, kind of the spray and pray type gameplay that you know, old school shooters kind of have, to one more where, you know, I'm using scout rifles in Destiny, and I've actually, like, learned to use the pistol in Halo.
Oh, so good. Are you playing with the controller?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm playing on the Xbox One. So.
Oh, okay. Because I played on...
And I probably see if you played it on PC that it probably does... It probably is more precise because... directly lining up your shots with your mouse. So I feel like I'm missing shots playing.
Yeah. And in that case, like, it might be worth it to play with other weapons, like the shotgun, or, like, I don't know if you have the rocket launcher yet.
I just got the rocket launcher.
That has, like, a lock-on upgrade.
Yeah.
And stuff.
And there is an upgrade for the, it's like the assault rifle or machine gun or whatever mm-hmm. whatever they call it, that does give you like a scope, but even there it seems a little sloppy. Like,
yeah, I mean, the last thing you ever want to be doing is looking through a scope in that game. Like,
right,
you're
right.
supposed to be just bouncing around and stuff. Chainsaw is pretty sick, though. You should have the chainsaw.
Chainsaw is fun, and that is very useful against some of the bigger enemies. Like, I finally figured that out. Like, I was wasting all my ammo early on, and I was like, why am I always – I'm always so low on ammo. And the game's not particularly easy. Like, it's –
No,
it's very fast. It's very tense, and like if you're running out of ammo, like you're then trying to like run around and scrounge shit up off the ground. And,
yeah, and that's where the chainsaw comes into play because it'll just spill a whole bunch of ammo out of their bellies.
Yeah, so like that chainsaw against like the bigger enemies too. It's like a one hit kill on them, and that's very helpful. So
yeah, I would advise spending time upgrading your chainsaw, because eventually you're going to hit enemies where it's like three charges is not enough anymore. You'll need four, and then you'll need five and stuff like that. I think five is the maximum, but
It's fun. I could see why people are really into it. It's coming off of like a Titanfall's campaign, which does a lot of platforming as well. Like, there's a lot of, like, jumping around and stuff here. Like, the platforming in Titanfall, though, is just so much more dynamic. And
yeah, I don't, like, I would definitely say that, I mean, I haven't played Titanfall, but the platforming in Doom is there specifically to give you places to kill people from. Like, it's not like, traverse this area and have fun doing it. It's like, no,
it's just like
places for you to jump around and kill shit.
Yeah, it's like, you need to, like, kind of move over here to get up to this next area, which has the next arena for you to go at. None of the platforming is super complex. Like, it's just there.
Exactly. Yeah.
Have you done
any of the rune challenges?
Two. They're fun. Like, they're, you know, kill X amount of, I think the first one I did was like kill 15 imps in before the timer runs out with the shotgun. And then the second one I did was you have the pistol, and it's like blow up 30 barrels or 60 barrels or something before the timer runs out. So they're fun. They're fun little challenge rooms. It's interesting. So yeah, I'm gonna finish that. We'll see where it goes from there. So
that's cool.
I also played a little bit of the NES Classic.
Ooh.
Well, first tell us a story about how you found one.
I lucked into one. My friend had pre-ordered one off of Walmart, and then he got like a notification that it was canceled. So he jumped on Amazon. He got lucky and got one there. Well, the one from Walmart showed up at his house. So he ended up with two of them, and I didn't have to go hunting for one. Like, I wasn't going to go hunting for one, but if I found one in the wild, I would probably have picked it up. This just lucked out. He had two. I now have one. That thing is super tiny.
I see it there on your desk.
Yeah.
I mean, is that an amiibo standing next to it?
Yeah,
Pac-Man and Bones?
Pac-Man is next to it, and Rob the robot.
Oh, Rob, not Dry Bones. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, Rob takes up like half of the device. Like,
yeah.
The controller, which is a standard Nintendo Entertainment System controller, just with like the Wii port for the cord, it is bigger than the system.
And, like, it's only, like, 3 feet long, right? So it's impossible to play.
Oh, yeah. The controller is so short. You have to sit, like, right up on top of your TV. Nyko and a couple other companies have created extension cords.
Okay, I was going to ask about that, because thank God.
Yeah, so that is available out there.
Is it any fun, though? Like, but beyond the novelty of it looking like an NES?
I mean, do you like classic NES games?
No.
Okay, well then, no.
But I mean, everyone was freaking out, like, this was the big thing you had to get, and no one could find it, and this and that, and I was like, I don't get it.
It is a plug-and-play emulation box that plays 30 of the... We'll say 30 of the best. There's a very good selection of games in there. Some of them maybe a little questionable, but you know, you can't go wrong with, you have the first three Super Mario Brothers games.
Oh yeah.
The original Legend of Zelda, Zelda 2, Metroid, Punch Out featuring Mr. Dream, Castlevania 1 and 2.
Not Mike Tyson?
No, Mike Tyson was pulled out of the game back when, you know, he was accused of rape, and so...
That'll do it.
Yep. So he was never put back in, so, like, those Mike Tyson's Punch-Out games are...
All I hear about, like, anytime I hear about Punch-Out, it's Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
Because that's the one, that was the original, that was what the game was when it came out, but then he ran into that legal problems, and he was licensed. It was a license.
That makes sense. Yes.
So they just did a palette swap, changed them out for a guy they called Mr. Dream, and were able to continue selling it. Final Fantasy, the original Final Fantasy, is in it.
Is that the only one to ever appear on the NES?
Yes. The Famicom got Final Fantasy 2 and 3, the original Final Fantasy 2 and 3, but we did not get another Final Fantasy until Final Fantasy 4, which was released as 2 here, and Final Fantasy 6, which was released as 3 here, so... And they were on the Super Nintendo.
Right, okay.
I think Excitebike is on it. Balloon Fight.
Mario Kart?
Mario Kart, the original one, was on the Super Nintendo. So
okay. I know so little about the history of Nintendo games or where they first appeared. So.
Mega Man 2, Ninja Gaiden, the original one. It's Dr. Mario. Like, it's a really good selection of games.
So is it just the fact that it's the bundle of these games and it would be way more expensive to buy them on, like, the virtual console?
Well, I mean, and you gotta figure, so my wife's cousin is looking for one for her husband. They don't have a Wii U. Like,
well, I mean...
Like, who does?
Do they have a Wii?
They might. I don't remember. I know, but they have.
They're not, like, video game players, I guess.
Right. Yeah. They don't like, they, if they have a Wii or a 360, it was to play Rock Band, like, or right. Wii Sports. Like, they probably don't even have it hooked up to the internet. This is a convenient way for that, and, like, for them, it's like, this is cool. Like, it's that device. Like, so that's the novelty of it, and I can see where people who don't play games are really into it. I do think it's a little weird that, like, the people that do play games are ravenous for it as well.
Losing,
like,
their goddamn minds.
It's literally just an emulation box. Like,
yeah. I mean, and, like, I guess my thing is that, like, this isn't a original PlayStation one where a lot of those games are still unavailable in various formats. Like, you can't get a lot of original PlayStation games on the PlayStation 4 right now. You can get almost all of those games that are available on the NES on the Virtual Console.
Oh yeah, you can, and not just on the Virtual Console, on the Wii U or the Wii. Like, I mean, I have the first three Mario games on my DS. Like, I have the first two Zelda games on my DS. You can get Metroid on the DS. Like, a lot of those games are available in other ways. Like, and if you really wanted to play them, and you didn't own a 3DS or a Wii U, like, there's ways to play that stuff. My laptop is loaded with ROMs and emulators, like,
especially all that old NES, SNES stuff.
So, like, I don't understand, like, the kind of the fever pitch that is surrounding it from the gaming side of, from people that follow games.
It's just got to be the box. I swear to God, the fact that it just looks like a system like that is what's got everybody.
It's really cool looking. Like,
I want the Famicom one. The Famicom, man. Now, there's a system that looks cool.
Yeah.
Give me a Dreamcast one.
I do hope that they continue and, like, do, like, a Super Nintendo version of it, too, because I think that would be cool. But, it plays those games, plays them well.
That's good, at least.
4-3, format.
Borders and stuff?
There's no borders, just black lines.
But, oh, okay.
But it's nice. Like, so some of these games, like, you try and play them on different systems, and they stretch out, and it's like, this does not look how it should look. But, this is in 4-3 format. You can do save states up to 5
of them.
So the way you do it, you power on the system by pressing power, and then you select your game. There's like a menu of games. And then to save it, you hit reset, and it'll drop back to the main menu, and you can then pick one of the 5 slots and save it from there.
So it's 5 across all 30 games?
No, it's 5 for each game.
Oh, okay.
So there's some sort of memory system installed on it. So
that's good. I wonder if, like you said, you hope to continue. Like, doing an SNES one would be hard, like, from a licensing perspective. Like, I feel like you'd have to stretch out to other companies at that point, like Street Fighter 2 and Mortal Kombat 2.
But they stretched out. Like, I mean, they got Capcom involved with this because Mega Man's on it. They got...
I guess so, yeah. It's not like Capcom's doing anything with Mega Man right now.
Right, but I mean, like, they've reached out. They got Square involved with Final Fantasy.
I guess there are more licensed games on there.
They got Konami involved with Castlevania 1 and 2. They got Tecmo involved with Ninja Gaiden. Like they've reached out. They did partnerships here. They could do that again. Like, it's Nintendo. Like, they've done this stuff. Like, it's really just, hey, we're going to sell a box. Like,
yeah.
What's the margin that you want for profit on it? Like, we have to sell the box probably at $50-$60. So we're not going to offer you a ton of money for each of these games, but hey, do you want your game on the box?
But it's more money than you would than zero.
Right. So it's like, I mean, what does Square care if they put Final Fantasy 2 and 3 on there? Like, hey, you're going to throw a little bit of money our way and maybe some people will be happy. That's cool. And Nintendo has a great lineup of just their games, too, for the Super Nintendo.
Oh, sure, but I think people would want them to expand beyond that to, like...
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, you'd want Street Fighter 2, right? You'd want, like, stuff like that, so... like, Super Castlevania and...
Link to the Past and stuff?
Yeah. Like, I mean, there's tons of games that you could drop on that system, so... It's cool. Good luck finding one if you're out there looking for one, though. Hopefully after Black Friday, they'll get some more in stores for the people that are looking for that stuff for like Christmas gifts and stuff.
Yeah.
Good luck. Nintendo's not good at keeping up with this kind
of thing. They're terrible at that.
They are real bad.
Is there anything else? I was going to talk about this movie I watched that had an app that this movie was called Panzer. I think the actual name, like, outside of America is called Panzer Chocolate. It is about it's a horror film about this like two girls and one of their friends. They're archaeologists, research students, and they are hunting for the lost artwork that the Nazis stole, like that was never recovered.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem to, they think that they found a lead for it, and they go out, and it deals with some wonky stuff and like, Nazis of the Fourth Reich and
Jesus Christ.
And
run around telling everybody they're part of the alt-right?
No. I mean, this is a European film, so.
Oh, okay, so not yet. Okay.
Yeah. And I believe it's probably a couple years old because it just happened to come to America now.
Do you know what country it originated from? Because Panzer sounds German, but the Germans are not too down with Nazi imagery in their entertainment and media, so.
No, I have a feeling it was certainly not. certainly not. From Germany, did not not originate out of Germany.
Maybe Austria or something. Then.
Let's see.
Eastern Europe, somewhere.
Spain,
or not? Okay,
which makes sense because where they find the bunker where this lost artwork is supposed to be takes place in Spain. And the reason it's called Panzer Chocolate is because all they find in this bunker, they don't find the artwork there, but they find these crates of chocolate.
Is the chocolate possessed?
No. The chocolate's laced with, like, basically meth.
Oh, okay.
there's all sorts of stories of the experiments that the science experiments they did. And,
sure.
So they tie that into this, and then there's this Nazi Frankenstein monster thing. Literally.
You keep laughing every time you talk about it. Was it meant to be that funny, or is it just that, like, comical?
No, it's really dumb. Okay.
Does it know it's that dumb, though?
I don't think so.
Okay,
it takes itself seriously as a horror film. Like, really stupid. But regardless, bad horror films, there's tons of them out there. What's interesting about this is that there's this app. There's this companion app that comes with it. That as you're playing, it links up. You open it up on your phone, and it syncs with the movie audio.
Okay.
And then as the movie's playing, like, things pop up on your screen, like, maybe gives a little more information about something. Like, they make it sound like it's historical or whatever. It's most likely not. And ends up at the end, as the credits roll, you get a call on your phone through the app from the main character, who is at the end of the movie. She is kind of left in this bunker, locked away, captured by the Frankenstein Nazi creature, and put in, like, where they've been experimenting on these other captives. And she finds this phone, she gives you a call, and, like, you have the option of helping her or not helping her. You don't help her, the call ends, game over. But if you do help her, then it kind of leads you on this choose-your-own-adventure, also, like, a Resident Evil-style puzzle that you have to solve, where you're, like, twirling different colors and stuff on a screen to create an image so it unlocks a door for her. It makes zero sense, but it's, like, this weird alternate ending to the film, or extended ending to the film, that, like, you are interactive on. So
did the app come out originally with the movie, or is that something new with the American release?
No, so, like, the app, I believe the app is listed as coming out, like, 2 years ago, so that's why I think that the movie came out. Well, the movie here on IMDb is saying 2013, so yeah, so it's been out in Europe for a couple years now. It just happened to release this last Tuesday here in the United States. So It's a weird, cool concept that I was like, it's kind of like this interactive game that continues this really dumb movie.
It's novel, though. That's cool.
Yeah, it was something. It was really something interesting. And then it stops. Like, I helped Julia, the character, escape from the Nazi bunker. And it says, like, it's to be continued. And then about 45 minutes later, I had shut down the app and everything. I got a notification that, like, the app wanted me to open it, and I open it, and I get a call from the Frankenstein monster saying that, like, oh, we know you've been helping Julia. You're next. We're coming for you. We know where you are. And then, like, I got a call, and, like, an hour later after that, like, we're closing in on your location.
It's the really, app kept it's, calling you.
Yeah, it's, it kept calling me. I stopped opening it at some point, but it's pretty funny. Like, it's stupid, because why would this Frankenstein monster be, like, calling me on the cell phone? But
yeah.
But interesting concept. A cool little, like, FMV experience with some interactive elements. Almost a game. Almost. I don't recommend watching it, though, because it's not a good movie.
It doesn't sound like it.
No. I mean, it's about German chocolate meth that they gave to the soldiers and Frankenstein Nazi monsters. So right there, you know, kind of not great. Is there any news for this week?
I have literally two things.
Okay. Well, let's touch on them before we wish each other happy Thanksgiving and close this out for the week.
The first is that there's this bundle going around that I think was put together maybe through Humble Bundle or something. I'm not too sure. Or it's an Itch.io bundle. That is offering three stages of payment, $2, $8, and $20. The more you pay, the more games you get, you know, like Humble Bundle stuff. Right. But the total amount of games for $20 is 151 games, which can range between little indie games to games like Gone Home or Read Only Memories and stuff like that. So if you're looking for some cheap stuff,
should be pretty
cool.
I like cheap things.
GOG, like I think, is having a sale currently, too.
Well, everybody's having a sale. Steam's got a sale.
Steam.
Steam have a sale, too?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Cool.
Although everything I wanted in the Steam sale is not on sale.
Yeah, I need to look at that, because chances are, that's the problem with being a member of Steam for so long, is that eventually you've bought everything that you're ever going to want.
Right.
Except for the really new stuff.
That's where I'm at, with Steam. I mean, there are a couple things that, I'd like to get, but they're new, so they're not going to be on sale yet.
Yeah. Far Cry 4 is $15, though. Maybe I'll get that. Far Cry 3 is $5. Jesus.
If you listen to Jeff, Far Cry 3 is the better game, so.
I mean, that wouldn't surprise me, because Far Cry 4 just did Far Cry 3 again, which is cool. And then the only other news here, and this is really, not necessarily news, is that in Overwatch, they're redesigning Symmetra from the ground up. So, you know, she used to, have the turrets. She used to be able to give her teammates a little extra shield, and her ultimate was the teleporter.
Right.
So now she still has the turrets, but she doesn't have the shield ability anymore. It's been replaced with this shield that's kind of like Reinhardt's barrier, but it moves forward independently. Of them, and it's sort of to help her team charge forward. And stuff. And then her ultimates have been, so she still has the teleporter, but they've added on a second ultimate, which is a massive shield battery that gives your teammates plus 100 shielding or something like that. So when her meter charges, she'll have the choice between using one or the other. Because basically they found that players stopped playing her as soon as the first point was capped in most maps, because the teleporter didn't have any use beyond that.
Yeah.
As if you were defending. So, yeah. And then, so that's basically it. It's available on the PTR if you are curious. But yeah, that's news. There's a shit ton of stuff on sale on Steam, man. Skyrim and stuff.
The entire Far Cry franchise is 50 to 75% off.
Yeah, it's insane right now. It's like, man, if I thought I was going to play any of these games right now.
Similarly, the Elder Scrolls franchise is also fully on sale, but I own all the games.
So. Just Cause is also, City Skylines, the Civ franchise is anywhere, the Batman franchise, Grand Theft Auto, and this is just today. Each day tends to bring new things, so.
Soma for $12 is tempting.
Soma is real good.
But I'm holding out for Skyrim on the Xbox, so.
I think those deals leaked, so you might be able to find out what they have.
They said Skyrim's coming, but I don't think it's till the weekend. Because actually, they've been running them. If you have gold, they're actually running some of them already.
Oh, okay.
They're holding some for, I guess, Friday itself and Saturday.
Rocket League is $12. Everyone should own Rocket League.
Rocket League is fun.
Rocket League is so good.
Played quite a bit of Rocket League earlier this year, so.
Witcher. $30.
Wolfenstein
is $7. Wolfenstein's real good.
It's at the New Order.
Yeah, I want another one of those. God damn it! Maybe next year that'll be the big game. We can set it, since Dishonored and Doom and.
Well, yeah, I don't. I mean, they're not going to have Elder Scrolls 6 next year, so that would have to be their big game. They don't really have a whole lot of other options.
Prey might be next year. Prey. I'm not sure that counts as a big game, but it might be a flagship title.
I could see them having both, though.
That reminds me, the other thing in news, this is not necessarily news so much as it is interesting, but I liked Sleeping Dogs a whole lot, and Waypoint got a hold of the pitch documents for what would have been the sequel to the game before United Front Games was shut down. So go check that out because that game is cool. And I would have loved a sequel to that game. That game is criminally underrated.
As kind of alluded to, Titanfall 2's DLC, November 30th, I guess if you pre-ordered it, Angel City comes out in December.
That's a new map, I assume.
Yeah.
It's a remake of a previously from Titanfall.
Yeah. Considered by many to be the best map.
The best map,
Game, yeah.
So that's funny because that should have just been in the game, but instead they were like, what if we just sold this to people?
But they're not selling it. That's the funny part.
You know what? You're right. I remember them beating their chests about that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we don't have any season pass and stuff.
It's like, all right. It is funny because there are people that are like, "Oh, this is a great thing that they're doing. They're really like moving the industry forward with this." Like,
and you know what? The game is not going to make any money. So.
Well, and I don't disagree that it's a great thing because I do think like getting maps and stuff is for free is how they should be doing it, but. I mean, Halo did it last year. Like it's been a reason that Halo's been able to keep their player base up all year long because they have been doing these updates like monthly with new maps and modes and stuff. Yeah. So,
maps you have to because that was Halo 4's problem and it fractured their player base beyond compare.
Well, it's every game. Like it's what killed Battlefront. It's going to probably hurt Battlefield 1. Like if you don't have premium, you really will be at a disadvantage.
You think by now people would have learned that maps are probably the only thing, like the one thing. Like you sell everything else, but maps, man. Like if you want people to still play your game, you got like I don't know why they keep thinking that people will just pay to keep playing their game.
Because like I mean,
Call of Duty did it.
Yeah,
that's why.
Yeah,
and they do really well with it. Like,
but call it, I don't know that gravy train, man. That's run out. Not only is it only Call of Duties, but Call of Duty might not even have it anymore. Do we know what the DLC plans for Infinite Warfare? Are they PS4 exclusive right now?
For what? For Call of Duty?
Yeah.
It's the same thing they had last year, 30 days in advance.
Okay.
It's basically the same deal Microsoft had with them for years. But Sony jumped on them at the when the tides were turning. On Call of Duty, like I remember, they like tried to act like that was a big get for them, and
right, and that was around the point that nobody cared about Call of Duty anymore. So.
Right, like I mean, it's still going to be insane. It's going to sell way more than most games, but it is definitely on a downward trend year over year for like the third year going. So
yeah, that's the thing. Like, I would be surprised if like the fact that they sell their maps this time around actually winds up harming them quite a bit because so few people are already like super into that game as it is.
Right. My guess is like, even if they only sell, like even if like they're only selling 25% like across like for usual, if they stick to 25%, that's still probably more than most games sell total. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, a quarter of their user base is still bigger than what most games sell in their entire lifespan. So, but at some point that may stop. So we'll see. And if you're looking for a 3DS, like a bunch of places have them going for $99 on Black Friday. So look for that. I think that's about it, though.
That's all I've got in terms of news and stuff. I mean, it's holiday week. No, nothing's really.
Yeah, holiday week.
Lots of sales. We're going to play some games.
Yeah.
Next week, we will have some talk on Final Fantasy 15 for sure.
Yes.
If you want to watch something rather amusing, try and catch the Conan O'Brien, Clueless Gamer run of Final Fantasy 15.
I've watched one or two of those, and I just don't think it's for me. Like, I get what he's doing, and, like, as I watched the Overwatch one, because, like, it had Game of Thrones people on it, and I was just like, oh, man, he's full of hot takes. That's cool.
Yeah. It's, I don't know why he's, like, I like the ones, really, when he's literally doing a review where he's sitting with somebody else and they're playing the game.
Yeah, I guess so. I haven't watched those because, like, right, the Overwatch one felt like his writers went on Reddit and took all the jokes about Overwatch from there and then told him what to say.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. And, like, I did watch one where he did a Mario Kart 8 one, and just, it wasn't very funny. Like, he was doing it with Seth Rogen and who's that other guy from Neighbors?
Zac Efron?
Yeah, the pretty one. he did it like that, and it was like, it just wasn't very funny, but the one for Final Fantasy 15 was, it's amusing, especially as a fan of Final Fantasy, and, like, I could see how that game is absolutely impenetrable to somebody who does not play JRPGs.
Oh, yeah, I mean, all I heard the takeaway was him screaming, why would anybody ever play this?
Right, well, I guess, like, the guy who sets it up for him, like, told him that, like, there's this one boss that takes 3 full days to beat. Like,
holy fuck.
I don't know if that's true or not, but
which boss is that? Good lord.
It's this giant, like, worm thing.
That, I want to know. It's, the Leviathan, maybe?
Yeah. Oh, that sounds cool. But, like, 3 actual days to beat, like, seems super excessive.
Yes.
Like, not just super excessive, actually impossible.
Like, yeah, no, I mean,
unless you can pause your game and come back.
I mean, that's JRPGs for you, though. Like, yeah, I mean, that's, there's no getting in on the ground, like, on like, mid-level, man. If you weren't playing these things in the 90s or the, like, late 80s, just don't bother anymore.
Right, like, they're incomprehensible to people who don't play them, so. Yeah. I'm looking for it. Like, it was crazy, like, because, especially with any JRPG, you jump into the beginning, and it's a lot of setup. Like, it's not very exciting. There's not a lot going on. It takes a long time with any RPG, really. Like, it takes a while to get things moving with it. And you put somebody in, doesn't really play games. It's, what the hell is going on here? This is just boring. Like, so it is kind of funny to watch him go through that. I think he does it with Elijah Wood. And
does Elijah Wood say anything funny?
No, I mean, like, he looks like he's actually played games at some point in the past.
Yes. Yeah, I think so.
That does not surprise me.
Right. But, yeah, he even talked about, like, how, like, his big problem with RPGs is, like, it takes so long to get anything going.
Yeah. I mean, I literally just talked about that with Pokemon. Like,
yeah. Yeah, like you said, like, the first couple hours are basically a tutorial. And
that's which is good, like, if this is your first one ever, you don't remember how to play because you're just getting back into it. But as somebody who literally just played 1 2 years ago, I was like...
And Final Fantasy, because each one changes so much from you know, episode to episode with the mechanics and everything, like, it's, you really do have to relearn how to play those games, even if, like, a lot of the story beats are the same. Like, you're learning the new mechanics, you're learning the new battle system, you're learning the new upgrade path. Like, for people that don't play games, they are literally incomprehensible. So. Yeah. But we will be talking Final Fantasy 15 next week, hopefully. Yeah. I'm getting it.
I'll be getting it. Pete's next getting week. It. Well, it should be pretty light. A week after, we'll have a lot of news, though, because PSX and the Game Awards are both that week. Not this one coming, but the week after, first real week of December. So,
the 10th?
Yeah, the 4th or the 10th, yeah. Because, well, PSX is, that set is the 3rd and the 4th, and their keynote's on the 3rd, and the Game Awards are on the 1st. So they'll actually be happening either as we're podcasting.
Okay, so we'll kind of know some of the awards. Might actually know who the Game of the Year is when we record.
Yes, like I don't know when they are on Thursday. I think it's
normally like 8 or 9.
VGAs.
But we'll have some news. We'll have some games, and then we are very quickly approaching Game of the Year.
Yeah, buddy.
We're finalizing some things for that, and we'll get that information for you guys.
God help us all.
Yeah. Yeah. the Last Guardian comes out in like 2 weeks too. So
no, it doesn't.
That's a thing that might be out there.
If you hadn't said that, I would have gone the rest of the year forgetting that game was
even a thing. I mean, I'm sure there will be some sort of fanfare like, hey, look, it finally came out.
It isn't.
We promised it. Here it is.
It's funny that like both Final Fantasy and Last Guardian are coming out like within weeks of each other, and they've
been in development forever
for roughly the same amount of time.
About 10 years, right?
That just gives me hope that one day we'll see Half-Life 3. If Final Fantasy 3 can get me, Final Fantasy 15 can get made, and The Last Guardian can come out, nothing is impossible.
Right. I mean, just prove it right there. Hell froze over, so. All right, we'll be back next week. Tony, why don't you say goodnight?
Good night.